بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. Brothers, just before I start the program, just a reminder for the cars. Any brother or sister that's blocking a car downstairs, especially the driveway, please remove your car so other people can go out. Another thing I would like to mention, a very important point, is the mobile phones when you come into the mosque. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of signs, but a lot of people neglect these signs. Once you enter the mosque, please switch off your mobile so you don't distract the other brothers when they're praying. If you do forget to turn off your phone, to switch it off, and your phone does ring while you're praying, there is nothing wrong with you putting your hands in your pocket and turning it off. You'll get hasanat, you're not going to get sayyat. You will get sayyat if you don't do it. So if your phone does if your mobile does ring while you're praying, turn it off. Just put your hands inside your pocket and turn it off. If you don't turn it off, but this, especially the funny ringtones, and sooner or later you find people might dance by this way, turn it off, switch it off, put your hand in it, just switch it off. If you don't switch it off, you think by you not switching it off, you're gonna break your salah. No, you're gonna get sayyat for distracting the other Muslim. So please switch off your mobile phones. Alhamdulillah, today I'll talk about a very important topic. A lot of people would like to know that topic. I've mentioned this topic, or I've spoken about it before, but it's good all the time to remind the brothers about this topic. And most of the questions that when a person turns into the religion, the first thing he starts to ask is the tawbah, repentance. I've committed this and I've done this. What do I do? And that's why I said to myself, it would be good if every few months I'll mention this topic. To remind the newcomers, to teach them, to show them the way of repentance and the beauty of Islam and how beautiful Allah Azza wa Jal is, that He forgives all the sins. What tawbah means in English, it means repentance. The actual meaning tawbah in Arabic, you say taba al-mar'u, or taba al-rajulu. What does taba al-rajulu? Taba ila Allah. The actual meaning of tab means returned, gone back to. Taba ila Allah, ya'ni raja'a ila Allah. Taba ila Allah, he made tawbah, that means he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Islam calls repentance, calls it tawbah, which means going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to Allah azza wa jalla from where? When you commit a sin, you went away from Allah azza wa jalla. That means you went out of the borders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for you to go back to Allah azza wa jalla, you need to repent, which we call tawbah. So tawbah, repentance, means going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returning back to your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create the human beings perfect. And that's why Allah azza wa jal created the fire of hell and the paradise. The paradise is for the ones that do good. The fire of hell is for the ones that do bad. Allah azza wa jal did not create the human being sinless, that he doesn't fall into mistakes or commit sins. Every single human being falls into sins, except the angels that are not human beings. They are angels. Allah Azza wa Jal created all the angels sinless. All they do is worship Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Allah Azza wa Jal. But from the human beings, the only sinless human beings are the prophets and the messengers. Al-anbiya'u wal-rusul ma'asumun. The prophets and the messengers are sinless. They do not fall into sins. They might make a mistake. And what a mistake is doing something that did not know it was wrong. But falling into a sin, that's no way on the prophets. Prophets do not fall into sins that are sinless. Are they sinless because they are sinless in themselves, or is it because Allah made them sinless? Of course, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sinless. Anyone else besides the prophets and the messengers fall into mistakes and commit sins. And everyone knows that the sins, there's the major sins, al-kaba'ir, and the minor sins, al-saghair. The minor sins, okay, first of all, what's the difference between the major sins and the minor sins? Of course, the major sins are much greater and bigger than the minor sins. And the difference is, how do we know that this is a major sin and this is a minor sin? Is what the scholars said, إِذَا تَوَعَدَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِعِذَابٍ هَذَا يَعْنِ أَنَّهُ مِنَ الْحَرَاءِ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet mentions a punishment of you committing a sin, that means this sin becomes a major sin. Because sometimes the Prophet or Allah Azza wa Jalla say, don't do this, it's haram to do that, but they don't mention a punishment for it. If they did not mention a punishment for that sin, that means this sin is a minor sin. If the Prophet or Allah Azza wa Jal mentions a punishment for that sin, that means this sin is a major sin. Like how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about not praying, or how Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. The fire of hell, the valley in a fire of hell, is for those ones that pray and neglect their prayer. See, he is a major sin, neglecting the prayer. With neglecting the prayer, Allah mentioned the punishment of it, which makes the neglecting of prayer is a major sin. Not paying zakat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yatawaqqu bi tawaqqi min nar," and Allah azza wa jalla in a grave. Allah azza wa jalla will send the fire of hell on him in a grave. He is a punishment that's mentioned for a sin. So the difference between a major sin and a minor sin, that the both sins, but the major sin, there's a punishment mentioned by Allah and His Prophet. The minor sin, there is no punishment mentioned by Allah and His Prophet. And the minor sins will be forgiven just by making istighfar. If someone commits a minor sin, and even just the meaning of saying major sin or minor sin, that major sin, you've done something big. Minor sin, you've done something small. This big difference. This weighs 1 kilogram, the other one weighs 100 million kilograms. This big difference. The minor sin, if someone commits minor sins, what's the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla forgiving him for that minor sin? It's basically how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, istighfar. Just making istighfar, which istighfar means asking forgiveness. Okay, this will wipe the minor sins. Just by you making istighfar, Allah Azza wa Jal will wipe the minor sins. Praying the two prayers, praying salat, praying the prayer in jama'ah. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, "Oh Prophet, Allah has done a minor sin. So what's the repentance, or what's my penalty, and what's my punishment?" So it was the time of the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed the prayer, and that man prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that prayer, that man approaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "By you praying this jama'ah, by you praying in a group prayer, Allah azza wa jalla had forgave your sins." Which sins? The minor sins. Just making istighfar. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times, Allah azza wa jalla will forgive his sins, even if it was as much as or as big as the ocean." Which sins? The minor sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever prays Jum'ah, Allah praise Jum'ah in the mosque, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins to the second Jum'ah, the minor sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts the day of Arafah, Allah azza wa jal will forgive the past, the sins of the past here, the minor sins, not the major sins. All this hadith, that whenever you read the hadith and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Allah will forgive by you saying this or by you doing this, it's all the minor sins. And what's a minor sin? A small sin. Like, you know, a small sin. Like, for example, looking once at a female. Okay? That's a minor sin. Like, you know, having disrespect to someone, that's also a minor sin. You know, minor sins, small sins. But I would like to say something. I would like to say something, and please understand. Al-Israru ala al-Saghira tu'addi ila kabira. That's a ruling. You insisting on doing a minor sin, this minor sin will lead into a major sin. That means if you insist on doing a minor sin, this sin will turn into a major sin. So you don't say, wallahi, huh? Looking at girls is a minor sin. You keep on doing it, continuously doing that minor sin, then will become into a major sin. That means we'll not accept this major sin. This major sin will not be forgiven until or unless you repent. So a minor sin will turn into a major sin if you insist on doing it, if you keep on doing it. If you keep on doing it, it becomes a major sin. So the minor sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the minor sins just by us repenting, just by us making istighfar and praying the prayers. Now, okay, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive is saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar 33 times each after the prayers. After the prayers, after Salat al-Fajr, after Salat al-Duhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You saying subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu akbar 33 times, that's 99. And completing that 99 to 100 by saying, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulka wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. That makes it up to 100. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will forgive your sins. The minor sins. Now the main topic that we want to talk about is the major sins. If someone does commit a major sin, does Allah azza wa jal forgive him? Ula, that's it. He had committed a major sin, Allah azza wa jal will not forgive him, and Allah azza wa jal is going to punish him. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla said no. And Allah said this in Surah Al-Zumar, where Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَا الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah said in Surah Al-Zumar, say to my disobedient servants, my servants, the ones they transgressed by committing the sins, the ones they were disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah said, say to them, don't have despair on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't break your hopes. Allah's mercy is much, much greater. Allah forgives all the sins. And look at the beautiful way that Allah Azza wa Jal put this verse. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَا الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَا الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my disobedient servants, they are disobedient, but at the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal did not kick him out of them being servants. They are still servants, and that's what Allah Azza wa Jal told them. You are disobedient, but I still accept you to be my servant. Don't break your hopes. Don't have despair of what you've done. I will still forgive your sins. And Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, والذين لا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون وما يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the ones Allah will punish those ones, they commit adultery and fornication, and the ones they kill other people, except those ones that repent back to Allah. That means even if someone commits adultery and fornication and kills someone, if they return back to Allah and repent back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will still accept their repentance. That means the gate or the doors of repentance is open to everyone. No matter what he's done in his life, no matter what the sin is, even if it's killing someone, even if he killed someone, Allah Azza wa Jal will accept his repentance. If he repents the way Allah Azza wa Jal wants him to repent. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
said in the hadith, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةَ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ رَجُلٍ ضَاعَتْ ضَالَّتُهُ فِي فَلَاتٍ ثُمَّ لَقِيَهَا. That Allah Azza wa Jal, here the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jal. How happy Allah Azza wa Jal becomes so happy when his servants come back to him. That Allah Azza wa Jal is more happier than a man lost his camel in the middle of the desert and he's got his food and water and everything on the back of that camel. And then he finds out, how happy is that man? Imagine you in the middle of the desert, you lost your camel, you lost your transport, you lost your car. In the middle of the desert, there's no one around you. And then, khalas, you are waiting for your death. So later on you find your camel, how happy are you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Allah, that Allah is more happier than this man when his servant comes back to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the happiness of Allah when his servant comes back to him, than a mother lost her child for a few days, then she finds that baby child, how happy is she? Then Allah Azza wa Jal is more happier than that lady when, or that mother when the servant comes back to Allah. You returning back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will never reject you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, if you come back to Allah, Allah will never reject you. If you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happier than your mom when she loses you and then she finds you. Imagine your mom lost you for a month. And then you find your mom and your mom finds you. How happy is your mom? Allah Azza wa Jal is more happier than your mother when you come back to Him. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jal says. And this hadith is also in the Arba'in Nawawi. Ya ibn Adam, innaka idha ma da'awtani wa rajawtani, ghafartu laka mimma kana min dhanbika wa la ubali. O the son of Adam, if you come back to me and ask forgiveness from me, if you come back to me and resort back to me, I'll forgive your sins and I don't even care how much that sin is. Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك. O the son of Adam, if your sins reach to the skies, what does that mean? If you have this whole world full of sins, you come back to me, I'll come back to you with this whole world full of mercy. That's how beautiful Allah Azza wa Jalla is. O son of Adam, if you come back to me with this whole world full of sins, I'll forgive you. But come back to me. Look how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now another people keep on asking, no matter what I've done, even if I committed this and that, Allah Azza wa Jal Himself is telling you, no matter what you've done, if you come back to Him, He'll forgive you. How do I come back to Allah Azza wa Jal? What's the tawbah? Okay, I want to repent now. I've done this haram and that haram and Allah Azza wa Jal is still accepting me to come back to Him. Well, remember brother, if Allah Azza wa Jal does not want you to come back to Him and you are committing those sins, Allah Azza wa Jal would have took you away from this world long time ago. But Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the chance to live extra in this world so you could come back to Him. Don't you ever ask yourself that question? The Allahu Akbar, I do the haram in front of Allah's eyes and Allah could see me doing this haram, could see me doing these things that Allah doesn't want me to do and is still keeping me in this world. Well, Allah's keeping you in this world, why? Because He fears you? Well, He needs you? Or because the angels are not taken away from this life? Because they fear you? No, Allah Azza wa Jalla stops them from taking you away from this world. Why? Because Allah wants you to die and repent and die. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance of the servant until he dies. Once he reaches ma lam yugharghir, and gharghir in Arabic means before the soul has been taken out. The doors of repentance are still open to you until that moment where you die. Once you think you are dying, that's it. Close. No more. And that's why, brothers,
I'll say this again, because I know, I all the time experienced this. After the lesson, someone will come to me and say, "But Sheikh, I've done this and that, would Allah accept my repentance?" Ya akhi, Allah Azza wa Jalla told you, yes, He'll accept your repentance. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, the bigger the sin is, and you repent, the greater the rewards are. And not only this, Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say He'll forgive you. وَيُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ Allah Azza wa Jalla will also exchange your سَيِّئَات into حَسَنَات. That's how beautiful Allah Azza wa Jalla is. He will not only forgive your sins and wipe it out of your black record, He will also change your سَيِّئَات into حَسَنَات. That's how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. What more do you want than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the story of that man? A lot of us do know that story. A man that killed 99 lives. Murdered 99 lives. And this man wanted to repent. So he started to ask around, who can I ask that could show, who could guide me? Or show me how to repent back to Allah. I'm scared, I'm going to die. He's going to show me. So the people said, "Wallah, we hear this person is a religious man. He's not a scholar. He's not a sheikh. He's never studied religion in his life. But he prays and fasts. Go and ask him." So they guided him to that man for him to go and ask him. So he went and asked that man. He told him, "Ya akhi, oh brother, I want to repent. But I've killed 99 lives." So the man tells him, "There's no repentance for you. You killed 99 lives. There's no repentance for you." This man is ignorant. MashaAllah, it's true. He prays, he fears Allah. But not everyone that prays knows the religion. So what did that man do? He killed him. Sorrow 100. "Sure, no repentance for me?" Okay. Killed him. So he completed 100 now. And after a while again, this man wants to repent. He wants to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. He realized that he's going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand in front of Allah with all these sins. "That I've committed those sins, Ya Allah. I regret doing all these sins. I regret committing all these sins. Ya Allah, forgive me." So he started to ask around, "Is there any scholar? Is there anyone that's qualified enough to teach me or show me how to repent back to Allah?" So the told him, "هناك رجل عالم." There's a man we heard he's a scholar. Go to him, he might help you. So he went to that man. And it's true, that man was a scholar. And he told him, "Ya akhi, I want to repent." So the scholar tells him, "And what's stopping you from repenting?" So he told him, "I've killed 100 lives." So the man tells him, "Even if you killed 100 lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still accept you back. Allahu Akbar, is that how merciful Allah is? And even more. Subhanallah, is that how merciful Allah is? You want to know something? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah's got 100 mercies. One mercy was given in this world and 99 kept in the hereafter. So this is one of the mercies of 100 mercies. Look how merciful Allah is. But then the scholar told him, "Yes, it's true you want to repent, but your repentance will not be accepted unless you do these conditions. And part of those conditions is for you to leave the area or the city that you live in, because the people of that city are bad people. If you're going to stick around with them or stay around with them, they're going to have bad influence on you. That's why I recommend you to leave that city and go to that certain city where there's good people in that city, pious people that fear Allah, so they could have good influence on you." So that man, straight away, left the sheikh, left the scholar, and straight away start to apply on what he heard. Start to do, practice what he heard. And he walked from that city, going towards the other city. Halfway, what happens? Allahu Akbar, he dies. So now, it's either Jannah or Jahannam. It's either paradise or fire of hell. So the angels of punishment come down to take him to the fire of hell for his black, at least his black record. So who comes down? The angels of mercy. So the angels of punishment will say to the angels of mercy, "He's our portion, he's our share, we're taking him to the fire of hell." So the angels of mercy will say, "No, he's our share, we're taking him to the paradise."
So the angels of punishment will say, but this man killed 100 lives. Under what condition did he allow him to enter the paradise? So the angels of mercy will say, but this man wanted to repent. So the angels of punishment will say, but this guy just died now. So the angels of punishment will say, the angels of mercy will say, but didn't you see, couldn't you see, that he left the city showing Allah, yeah, Allah, I've repented. They start to debate. Well, in that situation, here comes down the angel, Jibreel, in some narrations, or an angel that Allah Azza sends down as a judge to sort the problem between the two parties. So he tells them, the best thing is, you measure the distance between him and the city that he came up from, and between him and the city that he went to. If he turns out to be closer to the city that he came up from, then he is from the people of that city. That means he's the share of the angels of punishment. If he turns out to be closer to the city that he went to, then he is from the share of the angels of mercy, because he's part of that city. So they measure the distance, and they find that man closer to the city that he went to by one hand span. And it's narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushed him to be closer to that city that he went to end up in the paradise. Why? Is it because he killed 100 lives? No, it's because he killed 100 lives and he repented to Allah. And Allah azza wa jal extends his sayyat into hasanat. Look how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then okay, now we all understand and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the sins, no matter what the sin is, if you repent. Okay, what's repentance? We said repentance is returning or going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, is there any certain rules or regulations that I have to practice or do so Allah accepts my repentance? Yes, there is. There is. And there's three main conditions. Three main conditions that the scholars had agreed on for your repentance to be accepted. Okay, what's the first condition? Al-iqla'u anil-dhanb. The first condition is to refrain away or to abstain away from that haram. For example, I'm an alcoholic. I drink wine. And I want to repent from drinking wine. And drinking wine is a major sin. Okay, I want to repent now. What do I do? The first condition is to leave it. Refrain away from it. Abstain away from it. Leave it. The first thing is, I'll leave it. I'll stop drinking wine. Why I'll stop drinking wine is because Allah ordered me. So I'll stop it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first thing is leaving the sin. Al-iqla'u anil-dhanb. They call in Arabic, al-iqla'u anil-dhanb. Secondly, al-nadam. Feeling sorry and guilty of what you've done. You've upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal came on you. You have to feel sorry that you've done this. You have to feel sorry and sorry that how can I upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The way that you feel sorry when you upset your manager or your boss at work, then you have to feel more sorry when you upset your Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to feel guilty inside you. You have to cry. Tears should come out of your eyes. Crying. That how can I do such an act in front of Allah? Don't you know that you're going to face Allah Azza wa Jal one day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you, oh my servant, won't you show yourself to face me with this haram? Oh my servant, I've created you. I've took care of you ever since you were in your mother's womb. And I've took care of you ever since you came into this world. And I took care of you ever since you became a man. And ever since you became an old man. And at the end, you turn your back away from me and do whatever I don't want you to do. You have to feel sorry and guilty of what you've done. That, Ya Allah, I feel sorry. Ya Allah, I regret doing all this haram that I've done. Ya Allah, forgive me. So the second condition is that you feel sorry and guilty that you've done it. I've upset Allah. How can I? I've upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, my Creator. And the third thing is al-azmu ala alla ya'uda ilayha, to resolve that he never go back to it. Promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he'll never go back to it. The last thing is, Ya Allah, I've committed a sin and now I've left it and I feel guilty and I cry that I've done it. And now, Ya Allah, I promise you that I'll never go back to it.
These three things. Leaving the sin, feeling guilty and sorry, and promising Allah that you never go back to it. If you do practice those three conditions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you that He'll forgive you. Only forgive? Nah. Allah will not only forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also exchange, replace your sayyat into hasanat. Is that all? No. There's even more. Ash-shabu at-taibu habibur rahman. You'll even become one of the most beloved people to Allah. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the ones that repent and loves the ones they purify. Yani subhanallah, He'll also love you more. Why? Because you've done something and then you waken up on yourself that you've done it and you went back to Him. So subhanallah, Allah will forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends my sayyat into hasana. And Allah also will love me. What else? And Allah Azza wa Jalla also grant you paradise. Allahu Akbar. What more do you want? التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one that repents, the one that repents from committing a sin, he's got no sins. How is it exactly how the scholars said? A white cloth that's got all these stains on it. You put in a washing, what happens? It's clean again. So subhanallah, how do we wash our sins away? Repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I repent? The way, the procedure that we just mentioned. Very simple and easy. What's the main one? Feel guilty. Ya Allah, I've upset you, Ya Rab. Ya Allah, I can't even believe I've done it. Remind yourself that you're going to stand in front of Him in a day of judgment. And He'll judge you for every single thing you've done. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one is perfect. Everyone falls into sins. But the best among you are the ones that repent back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Wallahi la inni atubu ila Allahi fil yawmi akthar min 70 marra. That wallahi I repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times a day. And He's the Prophet of Allah. Wallahi inni la astaghfirullaha 100 marra fil yawm. Wallahi I ask forgiveness from Rabbil Alameen 100 times a day. And He's the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man. He said, before us there was a man that committed all the sorts of sins. MashaAllah, hawla ma tarak shay illa amala. He done every single thing. Every single haram. Until he was on his deathbed. He was dying. He was sick, he was ill. And this illness is going to lead him to death. So he told his kids, after realizing that what he's done, and looking back into his past, a black past, full of corruption and haram, he realized that he's facing Allah now. And if he's not going to do anything about it, he's ending up in the fire of hell. And he saw himself that he's dying. So what did he do? Start to think, I'm facing Allah. I'll be standing in front of Allah sooner or later. I'm going to stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, yeah, Shabab, this is not only for any person that's got this illness that's going to lead them to death. Even if not ill, you might die now. You might die tomorrow. That's why all the time repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't just because, wallahi, the doctor told you you're going to die after 6 months, you start resorting back to Allah. No, you might die now. No one knows when he's going to die. So this man, he's on his deathbed, realizing that he's going to die. He'll be facing Allah soon. So what? So he said to himself, I'm going to face Allah. And I've got all these sins behind me. What do I do? I've got no more time to go and pray and worship Allah so it covers my sins. This only way is to run away from Allah. So what did he do? He told his children, that when I die, because it's very soon, make sure you burn me. And when I turn into ashes, put half of my ashes, which is my body, half of it in the seas, in the oceans, and the other half on land. He said, that's the best way. Allah will not bring me back. I'll not face Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that says something, kun fayakun, Allah Azza wa Jal, after he died, his kids burnt him, he turned into ashes, he was put half of him in the oceans, the other half on land, and Allah Azza wa Jal said, come back as a human being, and he came back the way he was. Remember that story? When Umayyah bin Khalaf came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grinding a bone, and then he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, oh Muhammad, is it true that you believe in, your Lord tells you that after we become ashes like this, sand, is your Lord going to bring us back? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَاءَهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ SubhanAllah, look how stupid they are. قُلْ يَحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَاءَهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ Allah said in Surah Yasin, tell them the one that created you the first time from nothing will bring us something from something this time. So Allah Azza wa Jalla brings that person back the way he was. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, Abdi, O my servant. Look at the beautiful word from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Abdi, O my servant. What led you? What made you do what you've done? To tell your kids to do this and do that. So he tells Allah, Ya Allah, min khashyatik, Ya Rabbil Alameen, it was because of fear, Ya Allah. From your fear. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, Idhab ila al-Jannah, go to the paradise. Look how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Does Allah deserve to be disobeyed at the end? Does Allah Azza wa Jalla deserve to be disobeyed at the end? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserve for us to do things in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He doesn't want us to do? Faya Shabab, all the time repent. All the time repent. Every night before you sleep, think of what you've done and repent back to Allah. And promise Allah, Ya Allah, will never do that again. And every time keep on repenting and repenting and repenting. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man with a guarantee card entering the paradise, he used to repent over 100 times a day. He's the Prophet of Allah. Then what about us? That's why, ikhwani, all the time repent, 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 and istighfar. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Every morning when you wake up, astaghfirullah al-Azim. And during the afternoon, astaghfirullah al-Azim. In the evening, astaghfirullah al-Azim. Before asleep, astaghfirullah al-Azim. Get your tongue used to saying astaghfirullah al-Azim. All the time, astaghfirullah al-Azim. And Ya Allah, atubu ilayk. Allahumma inni atubu ilayk. Ya Allah, I'll repent back to you, Allah. Ya Allah, I'm coming back to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And inshaAllah, next Monday we'll talk more about the repentance and what's the signs of an acceptant repentance, inshaAllah. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. A reminder for the brothers, that any brother that needs to learn how to pray, inshaAllah, on Wednesday after Isha. It was on after Maghrib, before, for the daylight saving now, is after Isha. So any brother that needs to refresh his memory about praying or does not know how to pray, just send him the Kemba mask after Salat al-Isha with Sheikh Nuruddin Badr. Jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala asraf al-musaleen, Habibina wa qaidina wa azimina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub al-absar, thabit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub al-absar, sarrif qulubana ila ta'atik. Allahumma aghfir lil-muslimina wal-muslimat, wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم تقبلنا يا رب العالمين واجعلنا من عبادك التوابين واجعلنا من عبادك التوابين واجعلنا من عبادك التوابين واجعلنا من عبادك المؤمنين واجعلنا من عبادك الصادقين واجعلنا من عبادك المتقين اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وذريتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم انصر المسلمين في فلسطين وانصر المجاهدين في جميع بقاع الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم وكن معهم ولا تكن عليهم اللهم أنزل عليهم مددك يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفر وتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خير